You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we've got jumping at Newcastle, Taunton and Warwick in the afternoon, then into the evening. We've got an all-weather card at Chelmsford City. There's also Irish action over at Punchestown as well. And you'll hear every race live from 12:10pm on William Hill Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and John Babb in the studio. But before all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast to offer up his thoughts on the racing is Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimlott?
I'm very well indeed, Sam. Very well indeed. Looking forward to the action on Tremendous Thursday. And again, it's just a little bit of a lull again, and then the weekend arrives.
Yes, indeed.
And we're flying high.
Skyrockets up towards the weekend. You've been keeping busy lately. I saw a cracking picture of you and Ken Pitterson on Twitter on your awards night on Monday.
Oh, yes, on Monday when we hit the big streets
toe
of
to
London.
Toe.
Exactly, toe-to-toe. I mean, I thought Ken would have been a bit more aggressive, actually, but he didn't really play to Queensbury rules.
Right.
Because he knocked me to the canvas, and then when I was on the canvas, he jumped on me.
Oh, he didn't, did
yeah, he? I mean, totally out of order. Totally out of order.
You think he'd be a man of honour and respect, wouldn't you, Pimms?
I've been telling my disciples for a long, long time what he's like, and he came up trumps on Monday. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, clearly. So
it's just as good that I wasn't up for an award, wasn't it?
Yeah, very true.
I would have been a bit beshevelled.
Because that wouldn't be fair,
I'd be
would
draggled to go on stage.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Good night had by all, was it, Pimms?
Absolutely fantastic. Brilliant,
yeah.
Brilliant. And I'm a big fan of Alistair Down. And he won Journalist of the Year for about the fourth time or whatever, but his speech was stunning. Yeah, excellent.
Good stuff. We'll have a quick spin through the latest racing news then before we get stuck into Thursday's action. The debate rumbles on quietly regarding the Tingle Creek on Saturday. Ruby Walsh has had his say on it today in connection to Special Tiara, who was hampered into second. Still haven't quite made their decision 4 days after the race whether or not they're going to appeal the interference. What do you make of it?
I'd say the connections of the second horse haven't got a cat in hell's chance of getting it reversed.
Right.
Well, first of all, you know, the jockey on the second horse has followed Sire de Grugy, and over the last three fences, he's gone left-handed. Now, I'd be thinking to myself, well, I don't want to be going to the left of him, because that's if there's any way he's going to go left. So he's had the opportunity to come to the right-hand side of him, from three home, still hasn't decided to do that. Sire de Grugy has gone left again, but when he's gone left, he's hit the horse in midair. Now, you know, there's no possible way a jockey can keep a horse from doing that. That's how he's gone. No man will stop him doing it. You know what I mean? Admittedly, he has hampered the other horse. He has possibly knocked him out of his momentum, but by the same token, that could have been avoided, I think. So I personally would say, yes, Sire de Grugy has come off a straight line. He has bumped the other horse. But by the same token, the horse has gone left over the last three or four fences. The jockey should have known that and said, well, actually, let's go to the right
and
of
switch,
it.
Switch Special Tiara around to the other side, yeah. And I suppose, I take your point there, you can't possibly steer a horse in midair, can you?
Impossible.
He hasn't got any feet
Absolutely
on the ground.
Impossible, yeah. You know, and I think, again, to be fair, he did actually have time to get by anyway.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't been able to. So, I mean, for me, it was brilliant. Great, great story, Sire de Grugy, bouncing back to form. It might not have been a top-notch renewal of the Tingle Creek, but by the same token, you go and try and win it. Not easy.
Mm.
And, you know, he's come back from the doldrums to land the spoils. And he was there on the day.
Mm.
And that's
the
important thing. Yeah. Getting there on the day is a big, big bonus.
Yeah, which Under So couldn't manage.
And Under So couldn't manage. Simon Sig couldn't manage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's about being there, turning up and showing them what you're made of.
Yeah, certainly is. Also interesting to get your thoughts on the Northern Racing debate that's been going on and that's been featuring the Racing Post throughout the week. Nicky Richards today has come out and said there needs to be a degree more of leniency regarding the handicapper and how handicapped Northern horses get. So they, his point was they might beat a couple of no-hopers, for want of a better word, by 10 lengths in the north, get whacked up to 130, and realistically they're given no chance going south. When they're given that mark, if they've won at perhaps lesser tracks in the north. Do you think he's got a fair point there, or is it a bit of he's from the north, so he'd like to get his horses more favourably handicapped?
Yeah, I think, again, that the handicapping system will be such that, you know, if he does beat a no-hoper, then he has to, you know, give him a weight accordingly. I don't think it's a case of he's beat a no-hoper, but, you know, he's run to that mark of a southern horse, so we'll put him up to that mark. I think the handicap is more than likely fairly fair. Again, we don't seem to want to travel down south, the northern horses, do they? You know, are we good enough? Maybe not, but we're surely good enough to go down midweek if we wanted to. It doesn't stop David Pipe, Twiston Davis, Skelton, Bailey, all going up to Perth. Yeah. They all go up there. They plunder the prizes there. The Irish boys come over. Yet, very rarely do we see a northern runner beyond Worcester.
Yeah.
So, I think we are the poorer relation, certainly. Yeah. But by the same token, I think we've also got to say, well, actually, hang on a minute. You know, we've got good trainers. We've got good jockeys. We've got good facilities. We need to go out there and sell it. Not just say, oh, we've got no wealthy owners.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, we've got to go out, get those owners back, encourage them to come north. And again, you know, they're saying the wealthy owners down the south, but he's quite prepared to send his horse up to Hexham, to Sedgefield, two and a bit grand.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we've got to look at the bigger picture, really. And I think we've got to, maybe in the north of England, give ourselves a little bit of a kick up the backside.
Yeah.
Say, come on.
And it's not an issue, surely, with the north of the country, because the flat boys have no problem. You'd love to have your flat horse trained by a Richard Fahey, Mark Johnson.
I was going to say, if Mark Johnson, Richard Fahey, David O'Meara, yeah. You know, there's lots of other lads with plenty of horses, Kevin Ryan, Carl Burke, they don't whinge.
Yeah.
You know? And the big boys are quite prepared to have their horses trained in it. You know, when Godolphin have bought horses from Fahey now, they've been left there, haven't they? You know, Mark Johnson trains for the Arabs all the time. They've no qualms with his facilities, with the prize money that we're racing for in the north of England. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of we need to just get our finger out and crack on.
OK, fair enough. I didn't expect anything else from you, to be fair, Pim. I thought it'd be along those lines.
Indeed. Well, there
not
we go.
Not one for whinging about it, are you?
Well, we don't want to, no. It's no, because that's not actually going to solve the problem, is it?
No, correct, yeah, absolutely. We'll move on then now, Pim, to take a look at some of Thursday's action. As I say, we're jumping at Newcastle, Taunton and Warwick in the afternoon, then a decent card in the evening on the all-weather at Chelmsford City. We've got Irish action at Punchestown, but it's Taunton and Chelmsford that we'll focus on this edition of the podcast. Just a note as well, all races at Taunton on Thursday are money back for second place with a serious William Hill. So if you have a bet and your horse gets beaten into second, you will get your money refunded as a free bet on all Taunton races throughout the day. So you can't say fairer than that, can you, Pimps?
No, but would that be to a certain amount?
£25 is your maximum bet there. And right. It's only applicable to races, that have five or more runners. But we're set for Taunton for that. We've got plenty of yeah. runners have turned up for every race.
Yeah.
We start with their 240.
No northern runners there, I don't think.
No. Start with their 240. Two mile and 3 furlong handicap hurdle here. 13 runners go down to contest this class 3. What did you like the look of in this race, Pimps?
Well, as you can imagine, it's a very wide open race. Plenty of horses coming into the race on the back of either wins or good runs. Stephen's Hero's been in good form of late, ran well enough in defeat last time out behind Milord. That was at Towcester. He's got the jockey fine of the moment riding him. David Noonan was amateur with David Pipe, now turned conditional. He's certainly an interesting contender. I thought Brook was interesting. We haven't seen him for 25 days. He pulled up on that occasion, but that was at the good meeting at Cheltenham in November, and he was in the van for a long way, then got very tired, pulled up. Again, Pipe's horse has been a little bit dipping in, out, not quite flying along and not quite in the doldrums. So I thought if you could forgive him that disappointing run, his form last season was very, very consistent, and he supports the cheap pieces for the first time tomorrow. He could well be a player. And I thought Winning Spark ran plenty well enough on debut 21 days ago when finishing third behind Sam Bedito at Wincanton. So that's another interesting player. And further down the line, right down to number 12 of the 13 runners, Calendar Brizat, I think that's how we're going to pronounce it, was a winner last time out. And that was at Market Raisin. when he won by a couple of lengths to Valiant Creek. And again, I thought that was a pleasing enough run from him, and there could be a little bit more on offer for that four-year-old as well. So, plenty of them go to post with a chance. I also forgot about It's Not Now Cato. He's an interesting one as well, who won and then finished fourth with the penalty at Plumpton the time after. But I'm going to forgive Brooke for that disappointing run and hopefully can bounce back.
Brooke then for Pimmers, the combination of David Pipe and Tom Skew in the 240 at Taunton. We'll move ahead to their 310 now. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. The dead eight at the time recording go down to this, so potentially a nice each-way shape to the race, Pimmers.
Yeah, but very good each-way shape to it, that is for sure. Again, good prize on offer, just short of £8,500. And again, plenty of them come into the race with a bit of a squeak, that is for sure. Caesars Milan, slightly disappointing the last twice we've seen him, but again, he was highly tried last time out at Newbury, and again, this will be a little bit of an easier affair for him tomorrow afternoon. We haven't seen the Evan Williams runner for 275 days. Barakila Balagari is interesting, another pipe runner that ran 12 days ago and didn't run too badly when he just got a little bit weary dreary at Newbury, and that was behind Arzal. And Gores Island's been running consistently well for the very much informed yard of Gary Moore. And Joshua Moore takes them out there. And of the others, I thought the bottom one, Hurricane Ridge, could be interesting. Hasn't been in the best of form of late, but if we look further back to his form last season, he was in plenty good enough form. And he could strike a blow for the Frost Yard tomorrow afternoon. So 8 of them to post. Wide open contest. If I have to have a little bit of a bet, I'm going to take a chance with the horse that we haven't seen for 230 days, Oot Majeur Alums. Is that how you say it, Sam?
Very, very well pronounced, that is. Oot Majeur Alums.
Yeah, interesting one. He ran well enough at Perth last time out. We've got to take on trust his fitness, but I think Victor Dartnickel will have him cherry ripe for his debut for the season.
Plymouth selection then in the 310 at Taunton. We'll go over to Chelmsford City now for some all-weather action. We start with their 510. This is a handicap over a mile. 9 runners go down for this Class 2 feature race on the card, this one. And quite a few horses know what it's like to win around here. Plenty of C&D form in the book, and none more so than second wave of Godolphin. Never been out of the frame in his career, and seems to have a lot in his favour here.
Yeah, got absolute loads in his favour, that is for sure. Raced off a mark of 93, was in good form last time we saw him when he won by a neck at Kempton. That was over the same trip as he races over tomorrow evening, and he certainly is a player. Possibly this might be the difficultest task he's had to take on, though, to be fair. Mantras been a good horse in his day, still been running well without quite getting his head in front. I'd like to see him get his head in front, because he might just then have his confidence boosted by that and start back to winning ways. But he still comes into the equation, that's for sure. Realise ran well enough last time out when he kept on to be 6 of 12 behind Mind Your Own Business at Chelmsford. I think he's a player, as to his Big Whiskey, who again ran plenty well enough in that same race that Realise ran in behind Mind Your Business when he finished second. So there's a bit of course form there between those two. Volunteer Point was a ready winner again at Chelmsford last time out and beating Mystical Madness by a head. And I thought the others might just struggle, although Homecomings did get his head in front at Kempton last time out. But the Fahy horses, for me, dipping slightly in and out of form. Not overly consistent, more than like the time of year. A lot have been on the go for quite some time. So I think second wave is more than likely going to go off your favourite, but I'm just going to take a chance with Realise.
Realise then, getting the pick there in the 5:10 for Chris at Chelmsford. We'll go on to the final race on today's podcast then. Another one from Chelmsford City here. This is the 6:10, a 5 furlong sprint handicap here. 9 runners are down to contest this Class 4, and the likely favourite here, I suppose, will be Heir of York, who's won 4 of his last 5 races. Back down in trip, up in class, and the handicappers whacked him up a little bit for that recent hat-trick. Can he continue on this upward curve?
Well, that's the question. Like you say, he's back in trip. It was 7 furlongs when he won at Wolverhampton last time out. He's down to 5. The handicappers having his say, but sometimes you just can't beat a horse that's in cracking form. Really, really going places. My slight concern would be the drop in trip, to be perfectly honest. I should imagine, though, that David Evans's hands are slightly tied with this horse now. They won't have too many opportunities to find for him, and so they've more than likely been forced to come here rather than choose to come here. So, yeah, he's certainly a player, but whether he can make it 4 out of 4 remains to be seen. I thought the interesting one here was Falsify, trained by Roger Cowell. Graham, or even Robert Cowell. Graham Gibbons is doing the steering. I thought he ran plenty well enough behind Temple Road last time out, and there could be a little bit more to come from him. One thing about him is he's tough, he's consistent, never seems to run a bad race, and definitely would be a player for me tomorrow.
OK, Falsify then, the bottom weight, getting the pick for Pimmers in the 6:10 at Chelmsford City. Just remind us, please, one more time, your four selections for the action on Thursday.
Yeah, so looking forward to hopefully a winning Yankee tomorrow afternoon and stroke evening in the first race at 2:40 at Taunton. The selection is Brook. In the 3:10 at Taunton, the selection is number 5. And you'll know why, but you've only got the number. And in the 5:10 at Chelmsford City, the selection is Realise. And the final race of the Yankee, we're going to put our faith in Falsify.
Excellent stuff. There we are. Thoughts of Chris Pimlott ahead of Thursday's racing. And do remember that every race on the Taunton card is money back for second. Bets up to £25 in races with 5 runners or more. That's exclusively with us here at William Hill. Thank you for your selections today, Pimmers. And join us again from 12:10 PM on Racing Radio. We'll have all of the action covered. Newcastle, Taunton and Warwick in full, as well as Chelmsford City in full. And a little bit of Irish action from Punchestown thrown in as well. It's Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and John Babb in the studio. Thanks for that, Pimmers, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.